This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome all our Torah Anytime viewers. Tonight's topic is... It's a topic of extreme importance. First of all, it's a very, very mature topic. Being that in mind, we are going to be using mature yet clean words to try to express ourselves. And, when speaking about this topic, there are many people that will hear this and they'll most likely say, oh, what a fanatic. Is that crazy? How bad is it? Right? By the way, I'm sure everybody here knows we're talking about the topic of wasting seed. So they're like, oh, are you crazy? What's the problem? You look at the medical, now it's healthy. It's supposed to be that. Generally speaking, and I'm not generalized, but I'm generally speaking on the generalization, those are the people that have issues with this sin. That's why they make such a big deal. It's not somebody who doesn't care about it. I'll give you an example. Somebody who is who smokes a lot of weed. You ask him, is weed bad for you? Absolutely not. It's the best thing, it gives you, it relaxes you. You ask somebody else who never touches a cigarette or that, is weed bad for you? He's like, oh my God, it's poison. So it depends. The more someone's involved in it, they'll go all crazy. I'll be like, no, there's nothing wrong with it. So people are going to start saying, oh, this is not true. This is crazy. This guy's a fanatic. Might be true also. But in this aspect of it, I'm going to source everything. So not only I will tell you these things, you could source it, you could look up for it, you could also ask me afterwards if you want a particular thing. And what I'm saying, I'm not making anything up. I'm not trying to make something more severe than it is. I'm saying you as is according to the Torah. Rav Aaron Cutler said, that many people, they don't speak about this topic. Why? Because modesty. How do you speak about these things? It's supposed to be modest. This is what he says that people think. However, in a generation, he goes on, like ours, the severity of the impurity that goes on, that everything is exposed. Everybody speaks about everything in this generation. But the Torah people, no, we can't speak about things that are related to Kedusha, related to holiness. So rather, Rav Aaron Cutler says that it's an absolute obligation to speak about these matters in public. The Kabbalist Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzera. Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzera, his grandfather learned with Reb Chaim Vital, which was a student of the Arizal. His grandson was the Baba Sali. So you're talking about a big, strong line of Kabbalists that he says that all the terrible things that fall upon the Jewish people in the Parashat Bechukotai, it says a lot of curses, these all stem from sexual transgressions. And in fact, our sages said that the majority of man's suffering, either you could say disease, pestilence, war, poverty, famine, are all related to transgression of the brit. That when we say the brit, we're talking about the circumcision area. So the halakha is in Shulchan Aruch that it is 100% forbidden to discharge semen in vain. And this is a graver sin than any of the other sins mentioned in the Torah. And there are many times that I've spoken in places where people are, coming closer to Judaism. And I'm just as a whim, I'll say, it just popped into my head, every so often, and be like, oh, the severity of wasting seed. And they were like, wait, what's wasting seed? And be like, I'll explain what it is. Be like, wait, that's a problem? Nobody tells these things, people in Judaism, because nobody speaks about it. It's how are people supposed to know about it? Rather, you're supposed to speak about it. You're supposed to, prevent people from falling into these issues. It's very interesting, because people don't speak about two things. For men, they don't speak about this. For women, they don't speak about modesty. The two things that they need to hear, that's why people don't speak about it. Why? People like to be liked. No one likes to be, oh, this guy's a fanatic, this guy's crazy. So it is important to speak about these things. I also pray to God that I will be able to present this information correctly, appropriately, and hopefully to help people prevent from this sin, not only for themselves, but also for others. The Peleo, it says like this. He says that, in his time, that it's quite common for young people to do this type of sin. And where does it come from? Where does it, from the ignorance. People just don't know. Especially you live in an environment that it's not frowned upon, especially from the secular world, as it should be. So there's no problem. So everybody, no one knows about it. And he says there's an obligation that people have to warn people about it. The severity, you want to hear his words, and I'll quote it. The severity of this matter, you have to warn them until they tremble from fear. So get ready tonight to be trembling from fear. All right. There are a few speakers that actually speak about it. You have, for example, I have a close friend, Yaron Ruvain, who speaks about it. Rabbi Mizrahi speaks about it. There's not too many speakers I've found in English that speak about it. In Hebrew, you actually do find a lot. For Israelis, for people who speak Hebrew, you find a lot. But for some reason, in the English-speaking world, it's spoken about, randomly places, but it's not as often as I think it should. I will let you know that last time I spoke, I gave this class, It took me 6 hours. So I'm giving you, it was two Friday nights, 3 hours, one after another. So we're going to do we're going to have to give a lot of over information all that span of time. Rav Moshe Feinstein says like this. He says that wasting seed is a sin from the Torah. Don't think of it like a rabbinical prohibition. It's like, like those people will be like, you can't do this. Well, Rabbi said I can't do it, or the Torah says I can't do it, as if it's going to make a difference. But this one, in particular, is 100% from the Torah. It's not. And the Gemara says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that if someone sins in this, you deserve death from heaven for this thing. And the Halacha says that this is more severe than any of the other sins in the Torah. Hey guys, welcome. So, everybody in this test, they all have different levels. There are some people that they're like addicts to this. They can't stop. They're addicted to it, and it's a very big problem. Other people have the problem, but it's not as much severe. To everybody, according to their level, they need to go and they need to fight and they need to accomplish as much as they can in this. The Chazon Ish says that the main purpose of a person coming down to this world is to perfect matters of Kedusha. And the Shevet HaLevi says also that you could tell, the spiritual level of a person depends very strongly on the purity of his soul. And I know I've spoken to many people that, when did they grow? When did these people decide that they're going to have the ability to grow spiritually? When they break up with their girlfriends, when they break up with their, or if it's girls, when they break up with their boyfriends, that's when they have the ability to grow. And I've spoken to people here, especially people that go to Israel, for example. They go to Israel, they want to learn, but they have, they're there, they're free, they go and they hang out with girls and do that. How can you learn? How can you grow? How can you, especially if you're younger, you can't, it overtakes your entire life. 24/7, you're texting. You don't stop. And about what? I don't know, just emojis. Just like all day emojis. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Peace, heart. Hopefully that's as far as it goes. But it's just a complete waste of time. But it also, it holds you back from growing. And our generation has a stronger test than it was in previous generations. Because now you have the ability to look at all these pictures, all these things, without any, on your phone, in the privacy, you don't have to go on a, even if you want to go 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when everybody had to go on a computer if you actually wanted to, or you had to go out of the house, here you go under your covers, you have no problem. As opposed to 30 years ago, where you even had to leave your house, you have to buy certain things, you have to go to certain places. So the Satan is making it very, very easy to sin. So it's becoming more and more difficult in our generation. However, says the Gemara in Yuma, page 39a, that if a person tries a little bit by himself, he gets help from heaven. So all you have to do is you have to start. You'll see you get elevated. The Midrash, Bamidbar Rabba, says as follows. In chapter 15, verse 12, it says that God doesn't elevate a person. Anybody wants promotion in life? Anybody not want promotion in life? Everybody wants promotion in life. You want God to be like, hey God, throw me a bone, give me a promotion. God, it says in the Midrash, God doesn't give a promotion, doesn't elevate a person until first a person is tested. And he gives proofs, the Midrash. First by Abraham. Abraham was tested with 10 tests, and then he got the blessing. What it says, Hashem berachat Avraham bakol, and Hashem gave, it says in Bereshit, in Genesis, chapter 24, verse 1, that God blessed Avraham with everything. Where is this? After all the 10 tests. Yitzchak was harassed by Avimelech. After that, Vayizrael Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi vayivarechu Hashem. And God blessed Yitzchak after this thing. Yaakov also, he was tested with Esav, with Lavan, with Dinah, with Yosef. And then after that, it says in Genesis chapter 35, verse 9, it says, "Vayara lekim al Yaakov od bevor mipatan aram vayivarech oto." And God blessed him after all these things. Yosef also, we see Yosef with Potiphar. He didn't get promoted to this viceroy until after he got tested with the wife of Potiphar. And we see this also in Genesis chapter 45, verse 4. It says, when Yosef saw his brothers, he told him, he says, Gishuna alai, come closer to me. And says Rashi, what did he say, come closer? He showed him his circumcision. What does that mean that he showed him the circumcision? Which means is that the brothers realized that now Yosef, he was the most powerful, most successful, most wealthiest person on the entire planet. And he's sitting over there, they're like, how did you get to there? Like, what's your secret of your success? What merit did you have to get you to that? So he showed them his blit, saying that I guarded my blit. I did not go and I did not do any pkam, any defect on my blit, which means I guarded the whole sexual purity, and therefore I merited to go and become the viceroy, the second, the most wealthiest man in that time. The Satan tries very, 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 very hard to make someone sin in this matter. And if he can't get you to sin intentionally, he'll try to get you to sin unintentionally. Because what happens is, The Midrash Tanchuma in Parshat Vayikra says, when someone sins unintentionally, you sort of open a opening that now the Satan can get you even intentionally. So sometimes people sin accidentally, intentionally. They'll be like, oh, you know, whatever, it wasn't so bad. But if you don't do tshuva on that, that you just open the door for the Satan. So the Satan, you know, imagine like you walk in the door and, you know, the Mossad agent behind you, you know, it's like, you know, you open the door and then you like, you know, the Mossad agent like slips in. And then you turn around, but there's like nothing there and the door closed. But the Mossad agent is still inside. Like, you know, he's under your control now. You're under his control now, better yet. So the same idea, you do a sin unintentionally, you open the door, the Satan comes in, and if you don't fix it, the Satan is able to get you intentionally as well. Now, let me share with you something from the Arizal. Arizal says something very scary. In Shal Kavanot, he says that each drop of semen, there is a soul that is brought into the world. And what happens is if this is brought in a forbidden union, it could be either through a forbidden union with another, you know, with the opposite gender, or it could be just, you know, forbidden union by just wasting seed by yourself. This causes all these life forces that are in there to be captured by the evil side. And what happens is now these souls that are captured, these kidnapped souls, they want to haunt the man that brought him into this, you know, despicable haunt, you know, state of impurity. So what they do is that they keep on trying to cause him trouble, the person that wasted his seed. And this could lead to, you know, depression, poverty, marital strife, problems with your children, and a long, long list of other tragedies. Now think of it, through every, you know, ejaculation, according to science, it's between 2 to 300 million sperms. Which, just if you think about that, the fact that you're here today, which means is, you're one in like 300 million. You are able to make it over here, which means is that you have the ability to overcome everything, especially this sin. If you think this sin is difficult, think about what you had to overcome and what did you had to accomplish in order to be here where that you are today. So think of it. You have, in every time that you see, you have millions upon millions of these souls that just want to attack you, damage you, and hurt you in all, you know, any which way or form, which is why there in Israel they don't allow people. You know, the general custom is, especially in Yerushalayim, that if a father gets buried over there, they don't allow the children in the cemetery. One of the reasons is because these children made it into the world, but there's a bunch of other children that didn't make it into the world. So the other children see the live children, and they get very, very, you know, much. I don't know what the right word is, but they want jealous. Yeah, jealous would be a good word, and they want to attack those ones. So for safety of those, they actually keep them out, and that's a custom. They don't even, the children, the sons, don't come into the burial with where their father is buried. So besides that, all these, you know, these demonic beings, they also cause one to have nocturnal emissions, wet dreams as well. The Kaf HaChaim says also that from all the sins in the Torah, none of them create demons like the sin of wasting seed. Like, this is like the top of the line. And not like, you know, there's some people, and I gave the demons class, they're like, oh yeah, well, that's cool, where are the demons? I want to talk to them. And they're not like your buddies that you could do stuff and be like, hey, listen, give me a Coke, you know, I'm like, you know, whatever. They're there to hurt you, to harm you, to damage you. They are called mazikim, they're damagers. That is their name. Their name is damagers. So it's not something that you would want. And this is one of the things that causes the most in the Kabbalistic sense, to come to bring bad influence to you. The Zohar says like this also, says something, you know, crazy, that, you know, after this despicable act, it says on each and every hair on the person's face, there are tens and tens of thousands of demons. He actually gives a number of 80,000 demons that are sitting over there screaming, impure, 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 and want to cause a lot of problem. And these demons, the only way that they can be killed is only through tshuva. So the Kav HaYashar says like this. He says in chapter 61, somebody who goes after the desires and pleasures of his heart stumbles, is going to for sure stumble in the sin of wasting seed. Someone who's always after his desires, can't hold himself back. I can't do anything. I can't. I'm helpless. You know those people, you know, that they're dating a certain girl and they're like, you know, what is it called? Whipped? You know, like, I can't. I'm just helpless. You know, I can't do anything. So the same idea, like if you're going after every single desire, you're like, yeah, let me do this. You cannot say no to yourself. That means that you're going to for sure end up sinning in this sin as well. Okay, says the Kav HaYashar. The Rambam, in Hilchot Deot, says that a person is very much pulled by the nature of his friends. So how your friends are, and then this I hold very, very important, how your friends are is how you turn out to be. And the idea is that if, let's say, you have a bunch of friends who speak about you know, this sin as if it's a common thing. Like, oh no, it's healthy, you know. And they say it as like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to do with this. And they speak about it in such normal terms. So then your mind, it's like becoming, okay, it's not such a big of a deal. And I'll give you an example. You know, like this. There, you know, I'll give you an example. This is from people that spoke to me. So there's a certain person that is in a very, very bad work environment. I'm talking not bad work environment, like illegal stuff, you know, like stealing, things like that, but illegal in a different manner, in sort of immoral, you know, relationships, let's just call it like that. And so when they first come to they hear about it, they're like, what? That's what they do? That's disgusting. That's crazy. But then they hear this person does it, and then they hear this person does it. So it's still taboo. It's still bad, but it's like, you know, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. It's not. It's like, you know, I'll give you an example. When somebody goes, when somebody's, you know, is, you know, doing some sort of sin, right? Let's say, for example, somebody's going and somebody is, you know, has, you know, premarital relations with a woman that, you know, he should not be having. And so right at the beginning, he hears about, you know, someone hears that he's doing that. He's like, oh my God, that's terrible. That's a terrible sin. But then he hears, well, you know, I have a friend that also does that. So then it's like, you know, it's not so bad. And then the more that you hear people doing that, it becomes less bad and less bad and less bad. This is the idea when you hang around drug addicts. It's like, at first you come in, you're like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. But then you're like, well, this guy's doing this and this guy's doing that. I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to touch it, but, you know, it's bad. And then, and then eventually what happens is they're like, you know, there's a little bit of extra coke left in the line, you know, and then you're like, all right, whatever, you know, and whatever. And then you just, you know, I'm just tasting. I'm not doing, it's like the line always pushes depending on who you're hanging around with. Okay. So it becomes a normal thing.
So like, just very like technical, but also I'm sure like a very source-based question. So is there a difference between, you know, I guess like the way a person wastes, like whether it's, you know, kind of with
a woman and
individual.
Yeah.
Because I know you could even waste seed with the wife, technically.
Yes, right? Yes. So we'll speak about that. We'll speak about, you know, we will speak about the whole idea of wasting seed. We'll also, B'zal Hashem, hopefully speak about with your wife, not at the right time, dating a non-Jew, having relations with, you know, someone who's considered a zona or a servant, like a, you know, it's like the prostitution. So we'll, B'zal Hashem, speak about, you know, all that, you know, God willing, hopefully. We'll get to that today. So, you know, there are many people, and by the way, that category, like let's say somebody who's sinned with his wife or with a non-Jew or with anybody else, that's all under the category of wasting seed, but a little bit, you know, a little bonus bad extra. So the, you know, the same in a bad way. It's not in a good way. It makes it all that more worse. And not only that, so everything I'm saying right now, it's just a little bit more, you know, that. So, you know, the Kabbalists tell us also that somebody who's, you know, who falls in this sin, he is constantly, you know, getting, you know, insults, humiliation because of their immorality. Had they go and they guard their covenant, then this person's going to be treated with honor. So somebody likes to be treated with honor. You want to have respect. You should know that this is one way to get respect from people is by guarding your brit, by staying holy. And, you know, the Chiddush says also, you should know, there's some people that say, okay, listen, you know, I'll hang around with girls, I'll hang around whatever, you know, the opposite gender, and I'll do this thing, and it's not going to happen. I'm going to look at whatever I want to look, it's not going to happen. I could control myself. Says the Chiddush, he says that you should never say that because even that even could come out through the urine. And that also is a big problem and also counts as wasting seed. So people go and they bring themselves to temptation, and then they think because they don't waste seed, I mean, granted, it's not on the same level, but because they think they're completely okay, and it's not. The Rashi says on Eren Onan in Bereshit in Parshat Vayeshev chapter 38 verse 7 says that Er and Onan, they both died. Why did they both die? Because they wasted seed. They didn't want to get, you know, they you know, Er was the oldest one. He was married to a woman by the name of Tamar. Tamar was very beautiful. He didn't want to impregnate her, so he would waste seed so he wouldn't get her pregnant. And because of that, God killed him. God took him out. That was his punishment. His brother went and married the, you know, his sister-in-law, which is what, you know, according to the Yibum. And from that, he also wasted seed. Also, and because of that, he also died. So we see here the severity of the, you know, of the sin. Also, it is, you know, it's also forbidden for somebody to willfully cause himself to have an erection as well. And if somebody has bad thoughts come to his mind, he has to immediately go and learn Torah. Because where do thoughts come into the mind? Mind that's empty of Torah, of wisdom, is filled up with other things. The mind has got to be filled up with something. If you're not filled up with anything of Torah, then it's going to fill up with whatever is in the environment, and that's something you definitely don't want. Says something here very, very scary. Says the Gemara in Ida, page 13a, and it's also in the Midrash Hagadol, Parashat Vayeshev. Rabbi Yochanan says like this: somebody who weighs seed deserves the death in the hands of heaven. That's not something like, you know, like, all right, whatever, I'll do tshuva, I'll do it. This is something that you better do tshuva soon. Death in the hands of heaven is not a light matter. Rabbi Yitzhak says, same Gemara, that it's considered as if he spilled blood. The Zohar says that this is even worse than murder. Why is this worse than murder? Usually when you're murdering, let's say usually you're not murdering. But if someone murders, they're usually murdering somebody else's children. Here you're murdering your own children. These are your own children, your own souls that should be coming onto this world, and you're destroying them. Rav Ashi says also that it's considered as if somebody worshipped Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Where do we know that you're not allowed to have immoral thoughts? There's a pasuk in Dvarim, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 10. When it says over there, when a camp goes out against your enemies, you shall beware of everything evil. Says the Gemara Ketuvot, page 46a, that what does it say, v'nishmat mekol davara, that you should guard yourself from all evil? Pinchas Ben Yair says that one should not think immoral thoughts during the day, because that's what comes out at night. Guess what's going to happen at night? That's what's going to lead to, which means is that, you know, there are many people, unfortunately, that they have what dreams? Nocturnal emissions. Now, sometimes it could be because of a position and that, but many times it could be because of the thoughts that you're thinking during the day. What are you watching during the day? What are you looking at during the day? What are the thoughts that you're thinking during the day? And this could lead to that sin as well. You know how there's like radio waves like everywhere? There's spiritual energy everywhere. And if somebody goes and sins in this particular sin, he cannot perceive to the spiritual energy. The more one keeps himself purified from this energy, the more from this sin, the more he can perceive the spiritual energy in it. And we know that there is a spiritual flow of blessing that comes to you. Now, every time you sin, you get a sort of klipa, you get a sort of a shell that's preventing the blessing from coming to you. But says the Baal HaTanya, it says that none of it is as strong as a sin of wasting seed. The transgression of wasting seed blocks does the most damage in this aspect. And says the Zohar something very scary. It says that there's no sin in the world which provokes the anger of God as damaged as this sin. Which means is like, you know, there's like a top of the sin, you know, like you don't want to be there. And like this is one of the worst sins that you can do. The Zohar says further that besides being the most severe, it is very, very, very difficult to do repentance on this. So don't be like, okay, I'll do this and then I'll do the repentance on it. And we're going to speak about repentance B'zat Hashem next week and how to fix it. But it's something that is extremely, extremely severe, and I cannot emphasize this enough. We know that the generation of the flood, they got punished with what? With warm water, with hot boiling water. Why? Because one of the sins that they did, and what the Zohar says that why was their sin sealed for? Because the sin of wasting seed. They you know, put their seed on the ground because of the warm seed that came out of them, went on the ground. That's why the world was punished with warm fluid, measure for measure, the same matter. And the Zohar says also if somebody dies without doing tshuva on this sin, he gets thrown to Gehenom, he gets thrown to hell forever. That's the guy's not coming out. This is like, you know, this is where you're talking about, like, this is not a sin, like, oops, okay, I'm sorry, you know, there is tshuva, we'll speak about it, but this is something that the Zohar speaks very, very strongly against, and the Halakha speaks very, very strongly against.
Could you ever do tshuva if you did it like a million times? Like,
yeah, we're going to speak about the B'zat Hashem, that's going to be next week. We're going to go through all the details on how to do repentance and tikkunim for this, and how to get all that spiritual blessing back. The Kavi Yashar in the 70th chapter says that demons, how do they derive sustenance? From this. So every time that somebody weighs seed, think about it this way. There's like demons that are just like milking up all that spiritual energy. And then you're just like bringing, you're like, here, my children, you know, feed, feast. And then you're growing this army that they're not like, long live king, whatever your name is, right? Long live. They're not doing that. They're like, let's destroy this guy. Let's take him apart and destroy every single blessing that he could possibly have in his life. That's what you're feeding them. Furthermore, it delays the redemption of the Geula, because we know that the Mashiach is going to come only when all the souls leave the Guf, the place where the spiritual body is. And if your soul is, you know, if your souls are getting wasted over there, then it makes it a very, very difficult to have the Mashiach come, because all these souls are now in the world. Arrogance. Thank you very much, guys. Arrogance goes and brings a person to the sin of wasting seed as well. I want to share with you a few things that the Shnei Luchot HaBrit, Rabbi Yishayahu Horowitz, says on this matter. So, number one, some of these things are going to be our reviews that we spoke about, but it's good to hear it again. Number one, the exile is going to be prolonged. Number two, this person who does a sin doesn't merit to see the Shekhinah, doesn't merit to see God. Number three, if he doesn't do tshuva, he will not rise in the resurrection of the dead. Number four, he brings death and plague to the world. Not only to him, but to the world. Number five, he prevents if someone is in this sin, you should know that it's very difficult to understand the Torah. It gets blocked. You're not going to be able to understand the secrets of the Torah. And Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzel says that the Torah is called blit, meaning that it attaches oneself to somebody who guards his blit. Somebody also who doesn't look at women, which is something that leads to the sin, will merit that his children will be able to bring out explanations in the Torah. And the more one breaks his temptation, the more Torah he's going to be revealed to them. So you want to have an opening to Torah? This is what you need to fix that. This is going to open it. Number six, and this is something we spoke about, and this is something that many men care about, unfortunately, more than anything else. It brings a person to poverty. You want to be wealthy? Don't do this. This is just, you're going to be bleeding money from this. Number seven, his son will be evildoers. And it says something really crazy over here. From people like him come the heretics, reformers, and the atheists. No one wants children like that. The Gemara Nida, which we said, we're going to do it quickly. He said when you do this sin, it's as if you're bringing a flood into this world. You also consider it if you spill blood, which you spoke about, and you serve idols, and you're also liable to death penalty at the hand of heaven. You're also considered like you're excommunicated. Says the Gemara also that the Zohar says that you have no portion in the God of Israel. You understand the seriousness, right? Is it making, a little bit that? Okay, so let's get a little bit more.
You're eliminating a lot of people that way.
From
all these things.
Well, they have to do repentance.
You're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. It's 80%, 90% of Jewish men. Even
that way seed? Well, this is what this class is for, to help them stop it. Just because they do it doesn't mean they can't stop it. Anything that you want, you can do. It's depending how much you want it. It's really depending how much you want it. It really is. Like, somebody who really, really wants to be wealthy and he tries and he's really, really aggressive, he, B'zat Hashem, will one day, make it. Somebody who is going to be, somebody who is constantly going and he's constantly, going after women, he'll end up going with women. If you really want it, you could prevent it from happening. I know many people that do not fall in this sin. And I know many people that do fall in this sin in the same aspect.
So in religious families, there's no such thing as sex, without making tzelach?
No, there is. We'll speak about that. There is. Okay. Yeah. So, but it has to be in a kosher way. But we'll speak about it soon. So the Zohar says like this. He says all the troubles, all the problems that befall a person are caused by this sin. You want to know why you're having problems? This is a good reason why, if you're still doing this. The Zohar says further, I'm going to list you about five things now, all from the Zohar. His soul goes to waste. He can never leave hell, which we spoke about it before. He is given over to the hands of the other side, the evil inclination, the Sitra Acha. And the Tshuva is of the hardest of all the sins of the Torah. He will not live in the seventh millennium, and the Kriyat Shema that he says will not be heard above. Furthermore, Mazal. You know what Mazal stands for? Mazal means luck. Everybody wants to have good luck. Especially a lot of the Russians, what do? Everything for luck. Put this and put that, put this. The keys, the salt, the bottles, the empty, this. Everything is for good luck. You want to know what is one of the worst things that you can do for good luck? Is wasting seed. What? Mazal stands for Motzi Zera Levatala. The acronym is for wasting seed. Mazal, Motzi Zera Levatala. That's what it stands for. Wasting seed. You want to destroy your mazal, your luck? You want to do that? Then that's what's going to cause it. The flip side also, somebody who guards his bleat, somebody who doesn't fall on the sin, brings panasa to the person. It brings sustenance to the person. If And that's why it says that. It says, Kasha mizonotav shel adam ki kriyat yam suf. It's difficult. The Gemara says in Psachim, page 117, that it's very difficult for somebody to have to make panasah, to make a living, just like it was for crossing the sea. Now, what's the correlation for it? Because we know that what was the sea, the ocean, when the Jews left Egypt, why did it cross? It says, Hayam ra'a v'yanos. The sea saw and it split. What did it see? It saw the coffin of Yosef. What was Yosef known for? He was known for guarding his breath, you know, with the whole thing with Potiphar, with Eshet Potiphar. So he was able to overcome it. This is why, if you want to have panasam, the same way that the sea split in the merit of Yosef, who guarded his breath, the same way you will merit to have panasah in the merit of guarding your breath. Furthermore, the Sefer al-Brit says that not only is it going to be a problem for his panasah, but he will not be successful in all his endeavors. Everything is going to fail. Everything is going to cause problems. You know, there's some people that everything they try, oh, flat, falling. No one knows why. He says, I don't understand. I went to college. I did all these things. I'm going the right way. I'm doing this, and I'm still not successful. So this could be a very big reason why. The Rav Nachman Blessev says also like this. It says that it's, besides having a very hard time earning a living, this, by the way, speaks to everybody. I think the strongest. Money. Everybody understands. Money talks. It says when this knows, if you think about it, every time you waste it, imagine you lose like 20 grand out of your bank. It's just like, cha-ching, it goes out, right? It's going to make you stop. Okay, so let's say you're a multi-billionaire. So just add another zero every time, right? Comparable percentage-wise. So people say, no, I can't do it. I can't stop. It's very difficult for me. Imagine every time you do that, 20 grand just goes out. And you could go in the negative. So everything that you work, and you know people do that. People work. They should have enough that they should be able to save. But for some reason, the saving is not there. Like, where is the saving going? Because it could be in their negative. Every time that they're making extra, they're still paying up, you know, from the default that, you know, from the withdrawals that they placed earlier. And even if one does earn money, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be through bitterness, through poverty, it's going to be very not something that's easy. The Chafetz Chaim says, you know, and this is something that I speak to people, that people postpone marriage. Why do they postpone marriage? They met a girl, a good girl, a nice kosher girl, and they don't want to get married. Why? Because of panasah, no money. So he says, you know, their benefits, their, you know, to preserving, you know, like their money is going to be offset, because we know that evidently what's going to happen, you're going to end up falling into sin. And what's that going to lead to? That's going to lead to more problems and more losing money. So you think that you're saving money by not getting married yet, but in essence, you're really losing the money. And so your gain are going to be offset by your loss. Rav Chaim Pelagi says like this. He says that the Torah, that if somebody goes and he guards his brit and guards the Torah, then even if his mazal, if his luck says he's not supposed to have money, he's not going to have anything good, these two merits can override the mazal, which means that you have an ability to override your luck and what you're supposed to be. A while ago in Israel, there was a very dry winter. And all of a sudden in the spring, when it never rains, it started raining. So Rav Aryan Leib Steinman said that most probably, you know why this blessing came in, is because there was somebody who got tested in this matter and he overcame it. Because it could bring blessing not only for you, but for everybody else as well. This also prevents one's children from going astray. You know, there's a few stories in Gemara and Kiddushin that a woman asked Rav Chanina Bar Papa, it's in Kiddushin page 48, that she says she wanted her to make a sin with him. And he said something, and all of a sudden he was instantly covered with boils. So she said something through witchcraft, and he cleared him. So he ran and he hid in a certain bathhouse. So this bathhouse was known, they had very, very strong, back then the bathhouses were, you know, populated by demons. And there were two demons over there. And he went in untouched and he left untouched. So the Chachamim, they said over to him, says, how did you go into there? We know everybody who goes in there, even two people go in there, they get harmed. How did you go in there and not get harmed? He said, maybe they told him, maybe you are tempted to make a sexual sin, and you overcame it. And the Gemara says that if somebody is tempted to sin and overcomes it, a miracle is done for him. There's another story the Gemara brings down, that a woman tempted Rabbi Tzadok to sin. And he says, I'm sorry, I'm too hungry, I can't, I'm too weak, I can't eat. So she says, listen, I only have an impure animal that I could give you to eat. So she says, this is what I deserve, says Rav Tzadik. So she went, she turned on the oven to put the food inside. And when she turned on the oven, Rav Tzadik jumped in the oven. And she's like, you know, now it's not an oven. Back then it was like, you know, big oven. So she's like, what's the meaning of this? Why are you jumping in the oven? So she says, he says, this is just going to be a taste of what I'm going to be getting after I do this sin. Might as well get the taste now. So she saw how serious it was. She said, you know, she left him alone. Rav Kahana was once selling women's baskets. And a woman, you know, tried to get him to sin. So he says, I'm sorry, I can't sin now. I have to, you know, I got to get into something more comfortable. He went up to the roof and he jumped off the roof. Eliyahu had to run and go, like fly for who knows how long and save him. So he says, you know, Eliyahu says to him, you know, you made me travel a long distance just to save you. So Rav Kahana says, what am I supposed to do? My poverty, you know, brought me to this profession. So Eliyahu gave him enough money so he could quit his job and he could doesn't have to get into that profession anymore. The stipler says, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky says that somebody who is overcome by this type of sin, just like the sin is great, so too the overcoming of it is also great. And it's very, you know, difficult to understand a certain concept, which I would like to clarify, that, you know, it says that in Kabbalah, if somebody is wasting seed and doing all the sins, then his Torah and his mitzvot and everything that he does gets snatched away from the evil inclination. So the stipler clarifies it like this, and he says that what happens is that if somebody goes and if somebody does a certain sin, there's a certain flow of energy that comes in. And that flow of energy inspires you to do more and be better. This is not a flow of energy only for mitzvot. It could also help in your worldly pursuits. So when you do a mitzvah, it gives you more energy, more ability to do more mitzvot, and also to be more successful in life in general. However, when somebody is involved in this sin, this energy is snatched away. This energy is taken away. So all the good that he does, the energy that he should be getting, he doesn't get anymore. It goes to the other side. However, the good deeds, the mitzvah, the Torah mitzvah, is still a credit to him, says a stipler. And however, when a person does tshuva, he gets that spiritual energy back. And the stipler continues, and he says, for somebody who gets tested in this, and he overcomes his passion, then all those sparks, that the tuma that he created, he rectifies it through that way as well, by preventing that from sinning it in it again. We know also, there's a lot of people nowadays in age, very, you know, depressed, sad. One of the things that causes it is this sin. And besides that, and it's sort of like, it works for itself, because when you're sad and sin, it also causes you to do more sins of these type of sexual, you know, wasting seed sin also causes it. So sadness causes you to do that, and it also brings us in. So it's like a continuous cycle. And there's a play on word that Esev Mazri Azera in Genesis chapter 1 verse 11. What you could really say that is Etsev Mazri Azera. Sadness brings out the seed. Sadness makes a person sin of that. So one of the things that a person, and again, there are certain people that are clinically depressed and clinically sad, and they need to be, you know, helped, you know, in a clinical manner as well. But for many people, if they fix this, their happiness in life goes up. And if you think about it, for the little pleasure, for the momentary pleasure that you're doing here, you're losing this world and the next. If you this is not something that I say and I mean it, but I'm saying it. So if you can understand what I'm saying, if you're sinning, sin smart. Don't sin something stupid. Don't be like, okay, you know, if a guy says, you know, like, okay, you could steal this candy bar, but then you're gonna have to pay $1 billion in fines. Be like, that's a stupid thing to do, no matter how much you want that candy bar. If he says, this candy bar you steal, you're gonna have to pay $1. So I'm like, okay, you steal that, you get $1. I'm not saying that you should sin smart and you should sin that, but don't sin dumb. Don't do things that is gonna cause you so much problems in life for the momentary pleasure that you gain. And everybody, you know, like, I've spoken to so many people about this. What do they tell me? After they do this sin, they're not like, huh, awesome, high five. They feel like 2 cents. They feel like a piece of dirt. They feel like, oh, I can't, you know, like disgusting from it. So you're losing this world and you're losing the next world as well. Also, somebody who guards, you know, his covenant also protects him from receiving protection while he's traveling. It also takes away the laziness and the sadness that he has. Generally, when someone does a sin, it's very difficult to rectify the sins. There's many nuances to the mitzvot and the sins. So it's very difficult to get everything. But when somebody goes and prevents himself from sinning in this particular sin of wasting seed, he rectifies all the other mitzvot, all the other sins as well. So it becomes, in that manner, it becomes very strong as well. Okay, so now there's three things that I want to speak about. There are three things that drive God's spirit away from the world. So, and it's called something, nishgaz, which means is, if somebody has relations, and this is the question that you were asking earlier, so if somebody has relations with a woman, a nida, Anida is a woman in on her menstrual cycle. If somebody has, without her going to the mikvah, even if somebody, so Anida is on, if somebody has relations with a woman, when she, even if she's after her menstrual cycle, but she still didn't go into the mikvah, she's considered sinning with Anida. And we're going to soon see, there's going to be four categories, and we're going to speak about them. Number two is a shifra, a woman servant in the house. Then there is a goya, which is a Gentile woman, somebody who has relations with a Gentile woman, and then ozana, somebody who has relations with a prostitute. Okay, so there are three types of people, of men, that drive the Shekhinah away from the world. Number one is somebody who has relations with a woman while she's in a state of impurity. And this is the Zohar, by the way. The Zohar says that there is no sin, there's no impurity as great as the woman's impurity when she's an idah. Which means is, you know, I think I've said this story here before, that one time I was sitting with my wife and we were eating in a restaurant, and I overheard someone two tables down speaking. It was two women that were speaking. One woman, I said this story already before. You guys heard this?
Yeah.
I said this. You know, so there's two, and one woman was getting married. It's not. I don't like to eavesdrop. I don't care. I really don't want to. But you know, you sit in certain places in Brooklyn. You know how Brooklyn women, you know, they speak the whole restaurant. Here's what they're saying. Everybody knows exactly that. So one was saying to the other one, you know, she was getting married. She's like, I'll do stuff, but mikvah, you know, I'm not doing that stuff. That's ridiculous. Why I have to dip in water? Like, why I have to dip in water? And my wife saw me. She's like, no, 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 don't say anything. And then they keep on going, and I'm like, you know, she already saw, like, I was like, you know, I was literally going to say something. And she was like, this is not your place. You can't just go to a random person and start telling them. I'm like, well, why not? Maybe I should say that. Because why are they saying that? They're saying that because they don't know the seriousness of it. If they know the seriousness of it, you think they wouldn't do it? You think they wouldn't go? What's so hard to go to the mikvah? It's all of a sudden you're taking something that is the biggest sin to the biggest mitzvah, you're doing it. You're transferring something for what? For going into a nice, you know, 5-star resort. They have the mikvahs over here for women. It's beautiful over here. Marble floors, everything clean, spick and span. You're going over there. It's no problem, and you're going and you're sitting over there. That's number one. So besides that, there's also the children that this comes out. It comes very, very impure. It's defiled. So the number two is somebody who has, this is a second category. Second category is somebody who removes God's presence from the world, is somebody who has relations with a non-Jewish woman. What's the problem with this? So, first of all, he has no share in the God of Israel unless he constantly repents. This is a severe, severe sin. People don't even understand. Why people don't understand? Because people don't even think about the severity of it. He has, first of all, no share in the God of Israel unless he repents. We know how bad it was when the daughters of Moab went and they sinned with the tribe of Shimon and part of the tribe of Ruben. What happened? 24,000 of the Jewish people of Israel died from this sin. They died from this sin because they had relations with the other side, with the non-Jewish woman. This is something of so much, you know, it brings so much problems to it. And furthermore, I'm going to read to you some things that what it says in Chok Yisrael. It says that what happens is when a person does this type of sin, it causes many, many other sins. First of all, there are some people that when they do the sin, they want to be uncircumcised so that they can find favor in the woman's eye. They can be, I'm just like you. So in that aspect, that's already like idolatry in your heart. And then he's on forbidden relations that he's doing with this woman. And besides that, all the bloodshed that he's causing and all the destruction of his souls. Because you know, if a man marries or has relations with a non-Jewish woman, those children are not Jewish. That's it. He cuts himself off. The end of the line. He's done. There's nothing that you can say that, you know, like the severity of this sin. Besides the fact that he causes the lengthy of the exile, these type of people cause tremendous problems for the Jewish nation. Tremendous problems. They cause so many bad things to happen. And why do people do it? Oh, I fell in love. I can't. You know, I love her. You know, she's, you know, she makes me breakfast, Rabbi. You don't understand. She makes me breakfast. I'm like, you idiot. You fool. You know that you have a Jewish woman, a soulmate, that's sitting there and waiting for you. And you're here thinking that you're getting breakfast. You think that this type of thing is going to last? These types of relationships do not last and do not become a blessing. Nowadays in age, what's the divorce rate? 60%, 70%, 80%, some people 150% because they married more than once. Right? You have people divorcing. You need every single siyata d'shmaya, every single amount of luck that you have that a relationship should succeed. you think you're going to get luck over here? Not only that, even if you don't end up marrying her, there's some people, yeah, tell me the dumbest things I need to practice. Like, practice for what? What do you need to practice for? That's the most idiotic thing. You want a woman that practices also? Is that what you want? So they go and they say the dumbest things, and what it's going to come bring them so much problems later on in life. So many problems. I could promise you this. And I don't use those words easily. Nothing good will come out of it. Nothing. Nothing good will come out of it. Only problems, only troubles, no panasa, no happiness, no luck with the kids. Just so, like, why is it worth it? You think, the problem is that people fall in love. There's a guy that I know that he's a guy, it's very interesting. He's not Jewish, and he's dating a Jewish girl. And I keep on telling him, I'm like, it's very odd because he comes to my classes. And he's not, you know, he's more interested in Judaism than her. And I'm like, break it off. You're not allowed to be with her. I mean, you guys know me already. I'm not going to be like, so, you know, thank you for coming to my class, and I really appreciate it. I'm like, no. You know, I tell them, I'm like, listen, I'm going to tell you straight out because I care. Not because, you know, I don't care about you liking me. I care about you, and I care about, you know, her. And you're doing something very bad. What is it? Tell me. No, but I love her. You'll love somebody else. You know, I love her. You know, as if we know what love is. As if you could actually, you don't know you love somebody until you're married to them for like 45 years. And then you can know what actual love is. But like, you know, and I tell this person, it's a very big sin. You don't understand. Like, is it really worth it? This world, you're not going to have success. The next world, you're also not going to have success. And even if you say, okay, I know people that are married to non-Jews and they're very happy. Really? Go see. See what his, you know, prescriptions are. See how much he's actually really happy in life. See how much success he has in life with his children. I speak to people. I know these things. I know what's going on over here. I haven't found one person who says, like, you know, and I know, and it's a very big problem in certain communities, and especially in these communities, there are people that you know, they fall into this. To the extent, I'll tell you how bad it is, that the parents don't even care. They're like, okay, whatever, they gave up already. You know why usually this happens? Usually this happens because there's a sibling that marries into that, or there's another family member. Remember we spoke about the more that you hear about something, the more okay it becomes? So the more that you hear about this thing, it also becomes okay. And it becomes okay. And this is a big problem, not only for people who have relationships that are with non-Jewish women, but people who go on vacation and think it's okay to do whatever they want with you know, God is not in this zip code. You know, it's okay. God doesn't come to these places. And it's a very, very severe sin, and it causes only problems in life. Only problems in life. And why would you do that? And why would you do that? You think for a second that if, let's say, God forbid, somebody's in one of these type of relationships, and he's going to go and says, listen, I know God doesn't want me to be in this relationship. I'll leave this relationship. You think like God's going to be like, well, now, you know, I'm going to cause a lot of problems in your life because you listen to me? Like, no, you're listening to God. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You think that God's not going to send you somebody much better? In all aspects, for you, of course he will, because you have that. This is something that you have, and this is something that's on your fingertips. And people don't understand this. This is also when people go and they date before they're married. I'm talking about date like really young. You're 18, 19, 20. You're not ready to get married. What are you dating for? What are you doing that? It only comes in sins. It only results in problems, in tribulations, in issues. You're not successful in whatever you do. People, you could tell people that have, you know, you see people in class, how, you know, you could tell, I speak to men and I speak to women. I know when there's the opposite gender is like, you know, no one's like texting and all of a sudden it's like, you know, like giggling like a girl. I'm like, dude, come on, you're like 6'5", 700 pounds. You know, what are you giggling about? And they're like, they become enveloped in this thing and the mind stops working. You don't think with this. And this is something very important with this particular sin. With this particular sin, with wasting seed and all aspects of it, you don't think with your mind. You don't. The mind goes on vacation, and you think with other things, and it causes so many problems into this world. Now, by the way, you should think of it, you should understand this, it's not only problems to you, it's problems to also your friends, your neighbors, and everything else like that. And this is very, very important. If anybody knows anybody who is in this situation, there are people that are addicted to wasting seed. You have to go and you have to help them out. You have to, let them read books about it, send them classes on it, send them leaks on it. There are people that have serious problems with these things. I can't even say the people that have problems that not once, not multiple times a day that they literally, the Yetzer Hara is, and that's it. They're sucked into it. They're not them anymore. They can't live life. And it's a very, very serious problem. And it's a very serious problem, and I can't emphasize it enough. I'll tell you the importance of it, that when somebody goes and somebody watches himself from wasting seed, it's considered as if he kept the entire Torah. You understand what it is? You know, like, there's, you know how there's like shortcuts? You know, like you could do something and be like, okay, listen, the professor, you come in there, you're taking, I don't know, physics or nuclear physics, or something like it's like ridiculous hard. Be like, okay, you write your name, I'll give you 20 points. Yeah. You know, like, all right, you know, so it's like an easy thing, you can write your name. I'm not saying this is an easy thing to overcome, but like, look at all the bonus points that come with it. The first and more, if somebody guards his bleat, if somebody prevents himself from doing this sin, this is the sin of wasting seed in all aspects. The Shekhinah is always with him. You have always God with you. Does anybody not want that? Be like, you know, God just like always with you. After death, the body does not decay for somebody who guards himself from wasting seed. And furthermore, that God himself heals this person spiritually and physically for somebody who guards his bleat. And he'll have holy children who was also careful in this manner. Can I bother you for some water, please? Thank you. There's an angel. The Zohar says like this. There's a certain angel that in the entrance to hell, that he's standing there with thousands and thousands of afflicting angels. Thank you, guys. Thousands and thousands of afflicting angels. But somebody who guards his bleat, this is, he has like a shield. He has an invisible shield, like no one can touch him. He has protection. And furthermore, Avraham Avinu saves people from hell that protect themselves with these things. By the way, incidentally, if somebody goes and sins with a non-Jewish woman, I'm not talking about a relationship, just even one time, and doesn't do tshuva, Avraham Avinu doesn't see that as somebody who has a brit milah. It counts as if, you know, he doesn't have it. He doesn't save him from hell. So, before coming from Mashiach, we gave, you know, a lot of classes on Mashiach. It says that there's going to be tremendous destruction comes into the world. One, you want to know how to be saved? Here's how to be saved, one. Guard yourself from wasting seed. This says the Tikkun HaZohar. It also protects you from harm and from enemies, this thing. The evil eye also does not have any control over somebody whose eyes, he guards his eyes. Somebody who guards his bleat is always in a state of happiness. It's always in a state of happiness, which is something that people pay so much money nowadays just to get a little bit of happiness in pill form and drug form and, you know, and whatever it is, the vacations, they do just to get happiness. Here is a simple way to do it. Let's speak about some practical reasons, some physical reasons. I'm going to have to, you know, hurry this up because we're getting a little bit late. Give you some practical reasons of what could be to be prevent yourself from wasting seed. This affects, if somebody wastes seed, affects somebody physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. How does it do that? It makes you sad, depressed, angry, easily agitated, nervous, unable to concentrate. However, on the flip side, somebody who is guards is that he's emotionally stable, he's confident, he has happiness, he feels alive, he's able to concentrate, he's free from fears. You know, some people, they're scared of everything. If someone sneezes, they're like, oh no, I just got, you know, who knows what. And they're also the spiritual connection comes much stronger. People who don't, on the flip side, who don't do that, they get tired very easily. They're always tired, always very, very exhausted, tired, always sleeping. They have bad breath. The hair and the teeth fall out easily. And the hair on one legs and one armpit become thick. Now, I'm not saying you look at somebody who has hairy legs and armpit and be like, well, this guy's a pervert. You know, you can't, or he has bad breath. I'm saying this is something that could lead to. It doesn't mean that everybody who has it has this situation. So, also, Rav Nachman of Breslov says that when someone indulges in this sin, his mind becomes damaged. He decreases in knowledge, he has confusion, his level of functioning is lowered, and he's even like a little bit of insanity, depending on the level that he does it. It also, furthermore, causes a loss of memory. So it causes, one of the reasons that it affects the brain a lot is because it originates in the brain. The sperm originates in the seed originates in the brain and goes down the 18th vertebrae and then goes out that way. Also, somebody who does not guard his bleat, who has a very, very hard time on finding a wife. And even if they do find a wife, the relationship is going to be very shaky. This is even more so if somebody has relationship, marital relationships premaritally. So if they have relationships before they're married, this also makes it very, very difficult to have the relationships when you are when you do find a wife. And there are many people that think, you know, like, okay, when I get married, it's not going to be a problem. I speak to many married people that they still have this problem. If you don't fix it when you're single, what makes you think that you're going to fix it when you're married? And who wants to, you know, the disgustingness of it? You have a wife sitting in the next room, and you're doing this disgusting act. And, you know, these people, not because they want to do it, they're not controlled by their desires anymore. It's overcoming for them. You have to stop it now. It's not something that you can say, oh, you know, I'll be able to do it. If you don't stop it now, you're going to be one of those sickos that always do it. The perverts that cannot hold themselves back and cannot say no. The you know, the it sounds like it's very difficult, and it is very difficult to do it. But you know, the more that you hold yourself back from doing it, the easier that it becomes. And granted, you'll always have the more that you guard your eyes, and this is really what we're going to speak about. Next week, Bezat Hashem. The more that you guard your eyes, the more that you're able to do that, the more that you'll be able to prevent these sins from happening. But furthermore, it says something very interesting that when you hold yourself back from doing it, it makes it easier on everybody else as well. Just that little tiny bit. So you had a lot of big rabbis and righteous people, even not rabbis, that held themselves back from the sin, which means it makes it more easier for you to overcome it. Especially in now a day and age. So even though we're living in a day and age which is very, very hard to overcome this sin. It has a lot of temptation, it has a lot of things, but you have the ability to overcome it because of your balancing on all the things that they did in the previous generation. There's another thing that we mentioned. We said three things are going to prevent the Shekhinah, God's presence, from coming into this world. So one of them we said was Nida, having relations with a woman in her state of impurity when she didn't go to the mikvah. Number two, we said having relations with a non-Jewish woman. Number three is somebody who purposely prevents the seed from coming into fruition. So generally this means like an abortion. Killing an unborn child. So these are three serious, serious sins. Yes.
What about let's say people are married, right? But not every single time you engage in marital relations is gonna be for a child.
Right. So that's okay. Yeah. That's okay as long as you do it in purity. That is okay. And someone spoke about the idea of birth control, right? Because is there a way to so. First of all, if you're doing it in a kosher manner, it's completely okay. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do it. But it has to be in a kosher manner, which means is with your wife, while she's in a state of purity, and after she went to the mikvah. However, let's say somebody who wants...
But that story, they told us, about the guy who was married, I forgot their names, but, essentially, the seed went on the floor, but they were married, right? So, isn't it the same thing?
No, so that was a wasting of the seed. It has to be when it's not wasted, which means is that it doesn't go on the floor. It doesn't go anywhere else except where it's supposed to go. So that is a problem. If I think what you're thinking about, there's birth control. You have to speak to your local Orthodox rabbis. But condoms are not allowed. There are different versions of it, but you have to speak to your rabbi, and the rabbi could guide you. What's the appropriate thing that you should do, and then when you can do it, and then it's completely okay. And then even though you're not bringing a child, but being that it was in holiness, it's considered in holiness. So those souls do not turn mazikim, they do not turn damages. They have their tikkun the way that they're supposed to have it. So this is extremely, extremely important. There's something I did forget to mention. Is that somebody who has relations with a non-Jew, you know what they come back as a reincarnation in? They come reincarnation as a dog. And not like, oh, cute, little Fluffy is here, or, Mikey is here, come, You come back as a dog 7 to 9 times if you don't do tshuva. And it's a very, very, very difficult thing for a soul to come back as nothing, everything else but a human. It's very, very painful. So it is something that is imperative for anybody who dealt in any of these sins, even if it's just, well, it's not just, but even just the wasting seed, it's still something that you have to do tshuva on it. You cannot say, okay, stop. And the Bezat Hashem will speak about it, in more depth, Bezat Hashem, next week. Any questions? No questions? Everything was clear? Yeah.
What if you do two things at the same time, one of the two bad things you mentioned?
So
two times is worse.
So yeah, if let's say somebody it's wasting seed with a non-Jew, so it's just like it's just all that more worse of the sins. But I can't emphasize this enough. This is one of the worst sins that you could do in the Torah. This is literally the worst thing that you could possibly do. The tshuva, it just brings bad things upon you. You should do whatever it takes to prevent yourself from doing these sins. It's something that's only going to cause you problems. Who wants to be on a title that's going to be in hell, never going to leave? You're not going to even have success in this world. So you lose this world and the next world. This is something that's so important that people don't understand the severity in it. If you would understand the severity in it, you would not do it. You would not do it. It's just not worth it. It doesn't pay out well. Furthermore, which we spoke about this idea before, you have a certain amount of a pleasure that you're going to get in every aspect of your life, right? There's meters of pleasure. You have a meter of how much, let's say, sexual pleasure that you'll get. If you use this pleasure illegally, you're just stealing from yourself in the future. So this is, imagine what it is. If somebody goes and has relations before they get married, especially if they have relations with a non-Jew, or with even if it's with a Jew, it doesn't matter. It's before you're married. What you're doing is you're really stealing everything from your future self and from your future spouse. So you're building yourself up to have a bad marriage ready to begin with. This is something that a person has to do tshuva right away. And I can't say this enough. If somebody's in a relationship, you know, with, you know, Jewish, not Jewish, doesn't matter what it is, and they're not shomer negiah, they're touching, and it leads to sin, break it up. Either break it up or get married. That's your choices right now. You cannot. There's no point of it. It's only going to bring you bad things to your life. It is something that you have to be so careful about. This thing is like the worst of the worst. What the Zohar says about these things is crazy, and you don't want to. You don't want to. You know, put yourself into that. You don't want. You want to be happy. You don't want to be depressed. You want to be wealthy. You don't want to be poor. You want. There's so many things that you want to have going for you. This is a major, major obstacle in everything in your life. Everything in your life could just fall into play because of this. Is that clear? Am I clear on how important it is? Yeah, does it make 100% sense that this is one of the worst things that you can possibly do? It's good? So, Bezat Hashem, not only, this is not only important, by the way, for everyone here to listen to it, but this is important. There are many people that, you know, I don't ordinarily say, you know, like, you know, send my classes out everywhere, and it doesn't have to be my classes. But this particular topic, it's not spoken about enough. And whether it's, you know, just send it out as many people as you think that can possibly be useful for it is you know, could be beneficial. And by the way, this is not only for men. I was originally thinking about naming the class "Men Only." Why? Because then, you know, women are going to listen to it. Because "Men Only," women don't want to listen. You know, if you say "Women Only," men, I'd be like, all right, fine, whatever, I'm not going to listen to it. But if you say "men only," I'd be like, what is he talking about? You know what? But why is it important also for women? Because women can lead to these sins, especially if you're in a relationship. They lead to that. If they dress immodestly, what happens? You know, if you know, they walk in the street immodestly and men start having thoughts, and then it leads to one thing, leads to another. So this is important both for men and for women. I know it's a mature class, and I hope that this was presented in a right way that you could understand it and you could take the seriousness and severity of it. And please, please, I cannot emphasize this enough. Try your hardest. Try your hardest. Some tips that maybe I'll give you now before next week is, it's very, I understand you can say, like, well, never do it again. And, you know, somebody who's been doing it for, since, you know, who knows how, what age, it's very difficult to overcome. So a very easy trick to do it is you say, listen, today is Tuesday. 1 week. 1 week you could do. 1 week is very doable. So you say 1 week. When the time 1 week comes by, you'll be like, you know what? 5 more days. You're able to always push it off. When you push off a sin, it makes it a little bit more easier, more bearable to do it. The more that you overcome it, the easier that it's going to come. And if, God forbid, someone falls, get up right away and stop right, you know, right then and there. Any questions? Any things that we have to emphasize more about? Yeah.
Sorry. You brought it up. I was always kind of curious about Shomer Negiah, right? So,
yeah.
And also in relation to Nida. So I know, like, you're not supposed to touch the opposite sex at all, like not even holding hands. Is it because it might lead to sin? Or if it does not lead to sin, is it?
It doesn't matter. It's, even if it's not going to lead to sin, you're still not allowed to do it. But the idea was as a precaution.
If you're just dating?
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing that, you know, it's never, you ever realize it, it's never going to be like, a guy never goes and looks at a girl and be like, you know what I want to do? I want to hold her hand. You know? No guy ever be like, that's all I want to do. It's just, I just want to just hold her hand. Because it never...
I'm saying, like, when you're married and, you know, whatever, like...
Even
you know,
though, yeah.
And, you know, like, to give her a hug.
Right.
If it's 100% not going to lead to sin.
Still 100% not allowed.
Nah.
And it's very, very severe when you're married and, you know, and she's in need that. Very, very severe. You have to stay far.
A hug?
Far, even a hug, yeah. Even a hug, even a high five. What?
Every single friend I have with a girl, I always hug them to say hi.
You always what?
I hug them as a hi.
So that, well, you gotta stop that. First of all, it's a non-Jewish thing because you don't, you know, and you know, it's very weird because how would you want your wife to do that to all your friends? You know, it's weird. You don't want that. It's not. I mean, nowadays it's normal because you see it on TV, you see it in the movies, and it's normal. But it's a very odd thing. You know, like, why you don't go to your friend? Well, some Gorskys actually do kiss. You know, their friends. But you don't usually go. You meet somebody, you can be like, hey, buddy, here, come here. No, sorry. You know, like, and be like, oh, I haven't seen you in like a week. You know, like, it's an odd thing. We don't do that. Like, you know, if you have a, you know, your beautiful wife is all of a sudden, when you find your beautiful wife and you're getting there, and all of a sudden, you know, you come in and it's like her and like 20 of your friends. What is she going to go around and be like, hey, Charlie, one second, my dear husband, I have to go first. You know, and then you go all those things. And okay, so I'm saying it like that, but the same idea, you're hugging, you know, a girl over here, you know, you're hugging someone else, his wife, future wife, maybe. You know, it's something that doesn't belong to you. Not that a woman is an object that belongs to somebody, but you're delving into something that doesn't touch it. And furthermore, men, we're all men here, you know, thinking it's not going to be like, you know, you're like you hug a woman. It's not going to be like, oh, you don't have any bad thoughts ever because from it. You know, it's always a problem and always leads to, you know, always leads to something else. If nothing but a thought is already a problem in itself. But it's a problem in itself anyways. You should definitely stop that. Always tell them if they come in for the hug, be like, oh, I'm sorry, I just got a cold or something. And they go, like spit in their face, you know. Or have really bad breath, you know, that everyone wants to stay away from. Any other questions? Any other aspects that I went very fast. I know I wanted to cover a lot of ground today. I know we didn't have enough time. So reincarnation, if somebody has relations with a non-Jew, comes back as a dog. As a dog.
Jewish soul can come in and
anything? Yeah, come back as a dog. If they don't do tshuva.
You're going to talk about
Shuvah
next time?
So next week, B'zat Hashem, we're going to speak about how to overcome it. Is it possible to? What are you supposed to do? That is going to be the topic of B'zat Hashem of next thing. There's, you know, in relationships to non-Jews, what the Zohar speaks about, it's so crazy, the hell that a person has to go through. It's I don't even want to say some of the things that he says, that it brings it down, how serious and how crazy those things are. But it's a very big problem nowadays. It's unfortunate. You have people that, you know, they don't think it's a problem. What's the big deal? I'm going to convert her maybe one day, possibly after I become Christian. You know, like, you know, it's like, because, you know, the woman has much more say on what's going to be than a guy could be like, listen, you know, I'm going to convert her. She's going to become a Jew. She's going to be like that. And before you know it, he's in church. You know, he's like, listen, the guy was Jewish also over here. I'm technically a Jewish religion. You know, I'm telling you, people convince themselves, hey, shalom bayit. Listen, what am I supposed to do? It's my wife. I can't I have to make her happy. So they do all the worst sins in the world. Lose this world, lose the next world. It's a lose situation. There's not one gain in anything of that. Not even if you could say, okay, I'm having fun. Because all you're doing is you're taking away the fun that you're going to have with your wife. And even this is somebody's by themselves and they weigh seed, you're just taking away all the pleasure that you're going to have with B'zat Hashem when you get married. And when you have, or even if you're married already, you're just making it a lot more difficult and worse for your spouse. Good? Good? Everybody good? Hazaka Baruch, B'zat Hashem, and we have the power to overcome this and help others as well. Hazaka Baruch.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.